you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11.
Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put on confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead.
That was Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11, and that was our friend Ron and Sharon, and we have a room of friends here, and the discussion today will be facilitated by Pastor Jason Schiffel of the Evangelical Free Church in Muhammad. And you might say, Philippians, I thought last week you were in Matthew, and before that you were in Colossians, and before that you were in Nehemiah. Yes, Pastor Jason loves God's word, and he kind of has the freedom to come, and if God puts a message on his heart, we just jump on it. So we may return back to Nehemiah or other books, but right now, today, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3, having no confidence in the flesh, and see what the Lord would put on all of our hearts, because we always want to study God's word to find points of application, to know God better, and to see what he's trying to reveal to us. And as we ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds and hearts, he can give you a very specific course of action. Maybe it's a course correction. Maybe it's something he'll put on your heart or something to think about. Maybe you've been praying through something, and that answer will come through our discussion today. That's our prayer and our desire, and we appreciate Pastor Jason Schiffel, his faithfulness of studying God's word and trying to declare it each and every Sunday to equip the saints. That's you and me to go into all of our world and preach the good news message of Jesus. So today we're looking at Philippians chapter 3, and we'll see where you're going to take it, Jason.
Yeah, so I was reading this last week, and I just thought, I just want to talk about this. In fact, I talked about it with all kinds of people. I was in the coffee shop, I was talking about it with some folks. I was at the store, I was talking about it with some folks. I was talking about it with my wife and my kids, because I just love what's going on here. First of all, chapter 3 begins, and Ron began, with the word finally. Does anybody know, when would we use the word finally?
At the end.
At the end.
We're closing out a
right. So is chapter 3 the end of the book of Philippians?
No.
No, because Paul is a good preacher. He doesn't know when to stop. And so he's like, finally. And then there's, you know, when people are like, oh, we're going to go to lunch. And then, no, he keeps going. He says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Now, why does he say rejoice in the Lord? Well, prior to that, in chapter 2, he was talking about the work of Christ. And how Christ works in and through us. And he even gave us that, what we call the kenosis statement, that you know, this great, incredible view that at one point, every knee will bow and every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father.
Yes.
And so he gave us this big, huge, massive view of Jesus. And he says, finally, my brothers, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. He says, I write these same things to you. So he's saying, you can have this same kind of big, massive, amazing view of who God is. You get the opportunity to serve him also. He's like, this is amazing. Rejoice. And then he does something really amazing. Because oftentimes what can happen is that we can elevate the messenger and not who the message, what the message is about. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. We can go like, oh, Paul, Paul's amazing. Paul's the rock star. Oh, we love Paul. Every time Paul talks, I get this warm heart. Instead of going, every time Paul talks, it's because the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to him and through him to bring us to a greater knowledge of God. In fact, that's what Paul kept telling everybody when he went to go see them. He would go to the Corinthians and he would say crazy things like, I didn't come to you with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. He's saying the best things that you're going to get from me don't come from me. They come from God. He's the one you need to rejoice in. He's the one you need to glory in. So then Paul gives kind of his testimony, right? He says, man, he says, I was circumcised on the eighth day, the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. To the law, I'm a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul says, by your standards, I was amazing. You guys all would have loved the success that I had. You guys all would have celebrated the success I had. You guys would have bought a t-shirt that says Paul and worn it proudly. And then he says this, it was all garbage. It was all garbage up and against the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. He said, all I thought I had, once I realized that I didn't have Jesus, all of it was pretty worthless. That's pretty amazing. Because we would die, some people, to get the kind of testimony that Paul had prior. I mean, the amount of success, the amount of adulation, the amount of applause, the amount of like, wow, Paul, that comes in those first verses. And then Paul goes, it was all worthless because I didn't have Jesus. Because Jesus makes everything different. Whatever I had, whatever I gained, I had counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, he says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says, everything is worthless without Jesus because Jesus makes everything different. He causes me to look at things differently, to engage in things differently, to speak differently, to act differently, to appreciate what I have differently, to take what I have, steward it, like we talked about last week, differently. And he says, I count everything that I lost as garbage up and against the knowledge of knowing who Jesus is. Do we value the fact that we are known by Jesus that much? That it's the most valuable thing that we have?
No, actually, we don't value it. We don't value our relationship with Jesus for the most part.
Yeah. I appreciate sharing that honesty because I think that at times that's probably true for all of us. We don't keep that in front of us. And that's why we're going to talk about what we are going to talk about today in verses 12 and 14. Because Paul says, listen, knowing Jesus, there's nothing more important than that.
That's right.
But he says, just because I know Jesus, don't think I'm perfect. That's what he says. I'm not perfect. He says, I've not attained perfection yet. But I'm moving towards it. Why? Because I'm moving towards Jesus and he's perfect. And then he says, because I realize this, because I realize that I don't hold that relationship properly all the time, I am going to press in towards it. I am going to pursue it. That's what he says in verses 12 through 14. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, my relationship with Jesus is so important that every single day I'm pressing into that relationship. I'm pursuing that relationship. I'm keeping it in front of me. I'm not straining for what was behind me. I'm looking towards what's in front of me. I mean, I don't know how you're going to do it, but what can we do to keep Jesus in front of us? That's why some people wear crosses around their necks, so that they can, in the old days of the missionaries, they wore the crosses around their necks because they would all often touch them to remind themselves of who they belong to. The crosses in the front of the church, and we think, well, that's a good decoration in the front of the church, the big cross. Actually, the cross is in the front of the church because the early church believed that we needed, when we looked forward in worship, to remember who we're worshiping. Because even in church, there's a danger of losing sight of what's most important, even in church.
True.
And so Paul says, listen, I haven't already obtained this. I'm not already perfect. Can we just say that? I'm not perfect. Let's all say that as like counseling for ourselves.
I am not perfect.
I think that it's really important to say that, because sadly, I think it's common for a lot of Christians, and particularly Christian leaders, to kind of have an attitude that they've already made it, that they aren't fallible, that they don't make mistakes, that they know better. You know what I know, because I know so much about the Bible? I know how much I don't know. Every single day when I open the Bible, I go, that's like I don't even know anything.
Yes.
And so the danger of believing that you've arrived, my grandmother used to say, is that you turn the car off and you don't travel anymore. You don't journey anymore. Mm-hmm. And so Paul says, I've not already attained this. I'm not already perfect. He says, I'm not there yet. So I'm consistently leaning in. I'm consistently learning new things. Every single day is like an adventure with Jesus for Paul. He's getting up and he's following Jesus into all these different places. And I think it's exciting for him. And along the way, he's making mistakes. Did you ever think that maybe one of the greatest things you have to offer to those around you is your mistakes? Is for you to say to them, I'm not perfect, but Jesus is. I make mistakes just like you, but Jesus forgives my mistakes. He can forgive yours too. One of the things that I think helped me elevate my parenting game when I was, because for a long time, my parenting game was like a D+.
Okay.
And one of the things that helped me elevate it was when I realized that it was okay if I told my kids that I made a mistake, that it was okay if I asked their forgiveness, that it was okay. My power was not diminished. My position in our home was not diminished at all if I said, I'm sorry I screwed that up. I'm not perfect. And then a lot of times go like, but what do you think Jesus says we should have done? And my kids would always say, the opposite of what you did, Dad. And so Paul says, I've not already attained this. I'm not perfect. But then he says this, because when we're not perfect, when we don't do something perfectly, what do we have a tendency to want to do?
Do nothing.
Yeah. Or?
Cover it up.
Quit or cover it up. Yeah. We have a tendency to do nothing, quit, or cover it up. And what does Paul do? Paul says, but I press in. He says, I press in. And so Paul realized that he hadn't arrived yet, but there was one great option that he had. And that option was not to quit or to cover it up. That option was to lean in, to press in. There wasn't any turning back for him. What is that hymn that we sing about that? No turning back, no turning back. How does it go, Jim? Help us out. Something. Da, before me. Da, 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 da,
yes.
Da, da, da. Listener, you need to help us. Come on down to Cadillacs and Guitars, and you can give us a hand with all these things that we don't know. Not perfect.
Well, I was thinking of that illustration you give some time of that mountain cliff where there's the guy and the water's coming up, and he's having to press into kind of God.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for Paul, there was an option that was open to him, and it wasn't to quit, and it wasn't to cover it up. It was to press in and to lean in to Jesus. He says, but I press on. I wonder if we can say that in our mistakes and in our failings, because all of us will have them. So just as we can say, I'm not perfect, can we all say that? But I press in.
But I press in.
Yeah. When you make a mistake, why don't we just say that? Mm-hmm. Oh, I screwed up. I'm going to press in and follow Jesus even closer. So maybe I won't make that mistake next time. And what does he say? That I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also lay hold of me. The only reason that Paul could press into Jesus is because Jesus already pressed into him. The only reason you can press into Jesus is because he's already come for you. The only reason that you can pray to Jesus is because he's already listening to your prayer. I mean, listen to that. You can only do because God has already done.
That's right. Yes.
And it's interesting because when Paul says that I may lay hold, or that Christ has laid hold of me, it's the kind of language in the Greek and the Hebrew, like a football player doing a good tackle. What Paul's really kind of saying is, the only reason that I can tackle this following of Jesus is because Jesus tackled me to the ground. And we know that's his story, isn't it? He was riding along on his high horse on the road to Damascus, and Jesus knocked him off his high horse, made himself known to Jesus. How many of us is that our testimony? I was on the high horse of life, and Jesus knocked me down and made known to me who he was and who he is. And so Paul says, the only reason I can tackle this life in Christ, I can press in, is because Jesus tackled me to the ground. He's like, I was tough too, you know? I was a hard case. And so what does this mean that Jesus laid hold of him, or Jesus tackled him to the ground? Well, when he did that, he made Paul a new man. Romans 6:4 says that. When he tackled Paul to the ground, he began to form Paul more in his image. That's Romans 8:29. When Jesus laid hold of Paul, he made him a witness. He's made you a witness too. And the ways that you're not perfect and the ways that you press in your imperfection is where you witness best. I mean, do you think you're a better witness when you're killing it or when it's killing you? Because this is what I know, is that when it's killing me, all the stuff that's in the toothpaste tube gets squeezed out, and some of it ain't that good. And when Jesus tackled Paul down, he used him to begin to tackle other people down, didn't he? To lay hold of other people. And then he says this, why for all this? The prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was focused on his future with Jesus, not his past. I run into Christians all the time, and hopefully this isn't any of you, but I run into Christians all the time who are so focused on where they've been, they forget where they're going. They talk so much about where they've been and not enough about where they're going. And I don't know about you, but I can't get people excited about where I've been, but I can sure get people excited about where we're going. You know what I mean? When you get together with some folks and you're like, let me get out the slides and the pictures and show you when I went to the Grand Canyon. Are they like, oh, will there be chips? Or you say, who wants to get in the car and go to the Grand Canyon? I bet you'll get all kinds of high fives and people will be like, I'll go. Let's go.
Yes.
So what's more exciting, do you think, for folks to hear where you've been or to see where you're going together? And that's where Paul's eyes are. He considers it a prize. He considers it of great value that he has a future with God. And what he wants to do is tell other people that they have that same future with God. And along the way, he's going to show them that he's not perfect. He's not going to cover that up. He's not going to hide it. Instead, he's going to say, listen, Jesus is powerfully present in my imperfections. And my imperfections are an amazing witness to others about the grace and glory of who God is. And then listen, where I've failed, I'm actually going to press in to follow Jesus more closely so that maybe that might not happen again. And then what am I going to do? I'm going to tell everybody about how Jesus tackled me to the ground and showed me who he is. And then I'm going to keep my eye on my future with him. I'm going to keep my eye on where Jesus and I are going together. And I'm going to bring as many people as I can along with me.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but that sounds like, when I think about it in that context, now I know why he goes, that other stuff, it was garbage. All the other stuff, it was kind of rubbish up and against the kind of life I get to live now. Because back when he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he probably had to pretend like he was perfect all the time. Back when he was a tribe of Benjamin, you know, circumcised on the eighth day, he had to try and keep up those appearances. I don't know how about you, but it's so tiring to keep up appearances. I'm okay being the guy on the block who forgets to mow his lawn every now and then. Because it's tiring to be so concerned about what everybody else around me thinks. Because what happens inevitably is I forget about what God thinks. And I want to press in and keep my eye on Jesus. Amen?
Jason, is some of that pressing in? I'm looking back at verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Yeah. And isn't that forward thinking when we can take the heart? He rose from the dead, and we're going to spend an eternity with him.
But I think it's also the power of his resurrection in you, that you're a new creation, that you don't have to constantly live with the old, but that you can live in the new. And I think far too many of us live in the old. Far too many of us live where we don't have to pay rent anymore, because Jesus has given us a new place to live and a new perspective with our lives. And so I think that that's one of the ways he's saying, you know, I can live in the power of Christ, because if Christ can raise from the dead, then he rose me from the dead. Oh my gosh. And then he could do that for these other people too, you know. And so are you headed towards Jesus? And even in your imperfection and all of the other stuff, are you pressing into him? And then, with your eye on the prize, a future with Jesus, are you inviting other people to come along with you?
Mm. Having no confidence in the flesh, yet pressing on toward the goal. The goal is proclaiming that good news message of Jesus. He's equipped you with individual skills and gifts and friendships, and you can be, wherever you go, as you go, his witness, his ambassador. Today, this weekend, invite somebody to church. They say like 70 to 80% of the people that actually get invited will go to church. It's just many people never get invited. So call up that neighbor, that friend, that loved one, and say, hey, come on, let's go to church this Sunday and get a meal afterwards, and see how God will turn that into a divine appointment. They're hungry for the Lord. We all are. We all have that vacuum that needs to be filled, that void in our hearts, and Jesus Christ is the one that can fill it. He can meet your needs. He loves you, and he cares for you. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.
When the valley is deep, when the mountain is deep, when the body is weary, when we stumble and fall,
when the choices are
in Jesus' name, we press on.